What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we have Garrett and Tyler from the band Feel. How y'all doing?
What's up, man?
Doing all right, man.
Hell yeah, I like to hear that. So I guess bring us up to date. What are you guys doing? What do you guys have going on right now? I know it's December, so a lot of people are winding down for the year. I talked to Tyler a bit about that before. So what are you guys up to at the moment?
Yeah, basically that. We released music on October 25th, our first like really introduction to the world on a bigger scale, an EP. And then we just got done with a 9-week tour. We're out all fall going from east to west coast and into Canada and all that stuff. But they haven't been announced yet, but we'll have some stuff in the winter as well. But we'll record also in the winter and rinse, repeat, do it all again. Things seem to be working, so we're going to keep doing it.
Right on. That's the grind, you know, like for like an up-and-coming band. I guess like for an up-and-coming band is the main, obviously the goal all the time is to make music, but is the goal really just like hit the ground running with shows and like really grind it out in that aspect?
Yeah, I mean, in one way, yeah. I mean, it's super important, especially as a rock band. So many bands have, you know, live and die by the road. I think it has to be a really good mix, though. You know, we have to be realistic that most of the people listening to our music will never see us live. I would assume that would be insane if they did. So it has to be a really good balance of going out at the right times, doing the right shows at the right time with the right folks, right cities, right countries, getting to that point even, but also releasing things at the right time and how many songs should we release, so taking that into consideration, like, you know, also balancing it with the real reason we got into music. So the artistic side of things too, like how does that all work within that? So yeah, hitting the ground running as far as shows, but Garrett and I specifically really enjoy the studio process of it too. So we love being in the studio, and being out on the road is kind of a reward for that. I think that's the way I kind of feel currently.
Yeah. What about you, Garrett?
I don't know what the question was.
Is it like the main, as an up and coming band, like the, what's like the main goal? I know Tyler said that like you guys love being in the studio, which is great. I love hearing that. Yeah. From art, especially like younger artists, because they're like, I like the fact of artists wanting to progress in the studio and maybe try some new things, get a little weird, you know what I mean? But like, to you, what's your view on like, as an up and coming band, like getting the most out of, is it the touring aspect you look at more at just to, you know, get around, get your name spread, or is it just like, you know, power on in the studio, or what's your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, if it's a question about like what our favorite thing is, it's, that's very easy. You know what I mean? Talking about a main goal is always difficult. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'd say for most bands or most of anything is to, I guess you're trying to convince the audience, the listener, that, you know, you have something worth saying. You know, they're, most people go to listen to, you know, artists or like practice like crazy idolatry or whatever. We don't want to be worshipped at all. Please don't. But they'll practice it because, you know, they appreciate the lens that you see the world through. And so I think, you know, we're doing our best to try and do that.
Yeah. And when I first heard you guys, well, first off, I want to say that like for a band at your guys' current position, like I was looking at the streaming numbers, and I mean, that's pretty impressive. I don't know if you guys are the type to really pay attention to the streams and all that, but for a band with like your guys' amounts of release out and just like the time you've been, you know, in the game, like I think you guys are excelling pretty well at that. Would you guys agree?
Yeah. It's an interesting thing looking at numbers and merits and such things, but it's extremely important. I mean, mm-hmm. It's a huge part of it is not just releasing music, but we need people to listen to it, and we need to have people listen to it consistently. And it's awesome to see that that many people are seeming to appreciate it, or at least check it out, you know. Yeah. Numbers fluctuate. You know, you see some of the biggest artists on earth, like someone like Sabrina Carpenter or something like that, millions of monthly listeners. And all you see is, like, I don't know how many she's got, but let's say it's probably 10 plus million monthly listeners. If it's 10.5 million, you don't see that, like, compared to last week, she might have 30,000 less than she might have, you know, the week before. So it's something that we pay attention to, but it's not something we get stressed over if we might lose 100 followers. I don't even know if we can see 100 followers at this point, but anyway, yeah, it's something we look at, but I'm pretty proud of where we're at with all that. It feels good. You know, we got to keep in mind that, the goal is to continue to make a career on this, but, we need to enjoy it along the way. So we pay attention to the numbers, but we're not stupidly concerned about it day in, day out.
If we wanted to be exact on her numbers, 76.7 million streams on Spotify monthly. So.
On hers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was assuming it was more than what I said, but good Lord.
You said more than 10, and I remember seeing Taylor Swift's once, and it was like 50 million. I'm like, I think it might just be more, dude.
Yeah. Wow. Sabrina Carpenter's a weird one. Like, I mean, I feel like she popped up out of nowhere. I only ever see her on, like, social media posts and everything. It just, that seems like such a niche fan base, I guess, but like it's a gigantic one at the same time. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. And she's an interesting case too, because she, like, to a lot of people, it seems like she popped out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. She's been releasing music for the better part of 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. She's been around. Yeah.
Anywho.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. And like, I think, kind of backing up a bit, like the first impression thing, like I feel like if you stumble across a band on Spotify or whatever, like I did, like that's how I came across you guys. And the for just a listener, like a music listener, if you go on like the release radar or something, or listen to a playlist of these songs from artists you haven't heard yet, like, you know, I'd be lying if I said, like, I give them like a 10 second chance sometimes. And if it's not my thing, it's not my thing. I move on. So, which isn't a good thing, but that's just kind of how I'm wired. But with you guys, the best way I could describe me really hooking onto your music, the last band that I could compare that to is Dirty Honey. And I think you guys have kind of that, it's like a retro but fresh sound, which I love. And I think that's, when you look at the rock scene nowadays, it's people call it like, oh, it's like, first off, it's, of course, rock music isn't as massive as it used to be to some people, I think. And it's such a large umbrella, like rock music, and you have all the subgenres and all that stuff. You can talk about that for days. But yeah, like it was like that retro sound, the vintage sound, but it seems new. It is new. It's fresh. I guess what I'm getting at, like, do you guys, like, did that come natural when you guys first got together and started playing? Or was it like, I want to sound like this, let's make it sound like that? Or was it just, that just happened to be what you guys sounded like?
No, I don't know if we've ever, I don't think I can think of a conscious time where I thought, or we've discussed in the band, like, let's make something that sounds like this. I'm not quite sure. I think more so I've thought about, like, wow, I should probably work on a song that's under 4 minutes, but not so much like an influence as far as sonically. I wanted this song to sound like this, or we're trying consciously. I mean, that's the whole thing, is like, you know, George Harrison with My Sweet Lord, he ended up getting sued. You know, he's so fine, that song from the early 60s, he's like, I didn't mean to do that, but yeah, I obviously did, so my bad. So I guess things can come out that way, but I think we're all a really good combination of our influences. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it tends to lean towards Yeah, like a 60s, more early 70s through mid 70s rock thing, and with the acoustic stuff that we'll release too with that influence. But, you know, I don't know. A lot of people give us like a Black Crowes influence. I'm not saying I'm not a Black Crowes fan or I don't enjoy their music. I never really listened to them. I know the first album, like everyone else. The Crowes fans will kill me for just saying that. I know that one. Garrett's much more of a Crowes fan than I am. But I think that those things might come out because we might be listening to a lot of the same bands that they are or did. Mm-hmm. Garrett's much more of a soul singer background than a rock singer. But that's who all these rock singers were listening to. That's all there was to listen to, the good stuff. So jazz and R&B and soul. But that's not to say we don't have some heavy British rock influences that we get compared to. But to answer the question, coming back to it, I don't know if we've ever consciously made a decision to say, we want this to sound like this. We might have done something and said, well, that kind of sounds like this. Let's change it, or screw it, we'll keep it. But I can't remember a time that we've meant to do almost anything.
Right. So I'm going to assume, do you guys get like the whole comparison thing? Like just be it like how Greta Van Fleet, everyone's like, oh, they're just Zeppelin. Like they're copying Zeppelin. Or like I hear it with like Dirty Honey. It's like, oh, well, they're just sounding like Aerosmith. Like, I don't know. Is that like a, like for instance, like you guys, like to me, if I would have to compare, like I hear a lot of Bad Company, like that kind of stuff, in my opinion. But like, it's, does that get annoying basically? Like, did you ever just like, we're just us, we're the band feel like, or is it like more of a compliment?
This is actually like the first time we've heard people compare other bands to us. Cause just, I think we're just so unique and in the sound that we do. No, I'm fucking around. I'm not serious. Yeah, of course we get those comparisons. Everyone's going to be compared to Led Zeppelin in some manner. You know, when you have some Southern rock twang, dude, you're going to get comparisons of, you know, Free, you know, Bad Company, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Black Crowes. It's, you get on the list, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
To be fair, so yeah, I could totally hear what they're saying too. I mean, you know, and I dig those bands they compare us to. It's you know, you just try to take a positive. People are going to say it. It's a human thing. It's funny. Mm-hmm. Me and my buddy were just talking about, we were just saying how music is awesome and stuff the other night. But we were talking about exactly that thing, but we were saying like, dude, why does every Californian have to like come up with some reason as to why a song sounds some way? By the way, I'm from California. Okay. I'm in California. And it's every single time they have to have an opinion of, man, it sounds like it sounds like this. It's kind of like riff not sing. Like, it's like, oh, that riff you got kind of sounds like this one song. It's like, how about you just shut up and you just enjoy the song?
Yeah.
Like, don't ruin it for us. Yeah, no, you're going to get comparisons. You know, you take it lightheartedly. It's going to be a fun time.
So. Yeah. I feel like it's always the new rock bands, too. Like, you don't hear, like, oh, yeah, that, you know, that rapper sounds like Snoop Dogg. You don't hear that shit. Like, it's always the rock bands. It sounds like it could be irritating after a while. Like it starts out like, oh, sweet. They think we sound like the Black Crowes. And it's just like, all right, no, we sound like us. I don't know. I'm just curious on that whole aspect. So I guess let's back it up to the beginning here. Like when, just so people can get to know how you guys started, can we get a little bit of a story on how you guys formed and everything?
Yeah. The band as it is right now really hasn't been, a thing very long. Garrett's been in the group, I guess, a year and a half at this point. It seems longer, but it's really only been a year and a half. And then Caden, who's playing bass with us, he joined playing with us in July. As far as the origins of the band, goes back about 10 years. I was in a band, and then TJ, the drummer, joined that band. And that band did some stuff for a while, and then it didn't. And then we decided to do something again. The plan was to always keep going, but just life. And then COVID happened, and we were kind of playing, but to no one. And that just kind of evolved into having a singer and bassist who are no longer with us, as far as in the band. I always say that in a way it makes it seem like they passed away.
Damn, they did not. They die?
No, my bad. No, I still talk to them. They're alive as of earlier. And but yeah, from there we just we needed a new singer. So Garrett joined the band, and this past summer we needed some fill-in spots for bass, and Caden hopped in on those, and now he's playing with us. And there's it's not very eventful. We're kind of a band who, to some people, might say we've skipped some steps. We didn't really do anything on the local level. We haven't played in bars. We haven't done that. Paying our dues in the like in the traditional sense, was not something we did. We kind of went right into opening up for bigger bands in the regional area. So Cheap Trick and 38 Special and Rival Sons, that happened a while back, and it just kind of grew from there. And yeah, it's not very as eventful as I'd like for it to be. It's not very colorful, but well, that's true.
Yeah, but like there's like nowadays, and I don't know. My next question is, I want to like, how did you how'd that happen? How did you go to opening up for those guys? Because it's not a bad thing. I feel like there's like a negative attitude towards not paying your dues and stuff like that. At least for the old heads who are like, yeah, you didn't play in the bars, you don't know how to do, like, that kind of shit. But like, in the age we are today, like look at the TikTok people who like pop off on TikTok, and then they're like, they're playing at a festival or something like that. Like, how did you guys manage to like kind of override that and like progress that quickly?
Well, to the wrapping up on the paying the dues thing, you know, you can say it however you want, but the fact of the matter is we all live and we're all gonna pass away someday, and what happens in between, there's really no rules of how to make it in the music business or who should and who shouldn't. I've played myself definitely over 1,000 cover gigs before since the age of 13. You know, if that's paying your dues, fine. But I can tell people right now, it's not like it became any easier when we got management and major booking and stuff like that. It's much harder.
I'd imagine not.
It's much harder. But that's not to say we're not blessed. I'm glad in the position we're in the position we are. As far as popularity goes and us doing the things we've done, being in a band, I guess this is my third original group since the age of 13. You learn a lot, and you always think the band you're in. Like when I was 14, I was like, this is the band that's going to do it. It's kind of like dating somebody. It's like always the rules of three. You have your first love. The second one's where you learn everything. The third one's that makes it. So the band feels the third one, so it's going to make it. I already decided. But we just learned a lot, TJ and I, and what we wanted to do, how we want to be presented, how we didn't want to be, what gigs we wanted to take, which ones we knew were worth it, which ones we weren't. We kind of, quote-unquote, skipped the local things because it's really easy to oversaturate in your area. It's also very easy to get gigs in your area, especially St. Louis. So we were like, we don't really want to worry about that right now. As far as social media goes, it didn't come out of nowhere. The initial climb might have seemed like it came out of nowhere. But to us, we had been working on it for a couple of years. And TJ, the drummer, does the social media, but we had talked about it for a long time, how we wanted to present ourselves and how we wanted to look. We always wanted to look like a band that was already signed to management, already signed to booking. Too many times it's a, hey, check out our music. And that just doesn't seem to work because, unfortunately, people don't give a crap unless you're already doing something. So we kind of presented ourselves in a fashion of, well, here we are, and we're very blessed to have extremely talented people when it comes to production and media who are there for photography and videographers. And so our content looks very good. So all those things said, at the long-winded way of saying it was, we didn't plan for it to happen the way it did, but it's not like zero thought went into it. It wasn't random by any means.
It sounds to me like you guys just played it smartly, you know, if that's even a word. You guys played it right, and it worked for you. And if people get salty about that, I mean, that's not your guys' problem.
Luckily, we don't have a lot of people. Like, there's a lot of negativity on, like, Facebook and YouTube and all, you know, all that stuff. But
Facebook especially. Still say,
you said what?
I said Facebook especially.
Well, Facebook, I just said
that's
this
where,
earlier.
That's where all the old heads conglomerate. Can you, are they gonna,
well, I was saying that to you guys here at the studio. It's like we have to take into consideration that a lot of people on Facebook are the people who take enough time to be negative are also the people who take enough time to comment on political posts from their cousin and like fight about that. And it's just, it's stupid. But I would still say overall, 90% of the comments are positive, if not more. There's a lot of encouraging things. People don't tend to view us as a gimmick or a novelty or a trend band. Something we get a lot is the word authentic, which is very nice because we feel really good about what we're doing and we feel good about how we're progressing. So there's not a lot of saltiness. You get people saying that we're trust fund babies and things like that, but I promise you we are not.
I wish,
and if we were,
wish
so
I
what?
Was.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, that'd be cool. No, we're very proud of where we came from there as well. So those are the only things we defend is when maybe the integrity of our upbringings are brought up. But we're pretty cool, and people are very supportive as of right now.
Absolutely. When you have, like you mentioned earlier, like new band members like come in, and Garrett, you might be able to hit on this a bit, but like with the, is it, did you guys in your guys' specific case, like, is it pretty easy for a new guy to slide in and gel like immediately? How is that process? How do you guys go about that as a band?
Yeah. So there's like a, we go by like kind of like a 12 week hazing process where, you know, we just gaslight them into things that they haven't done, but we tell them they did. we make them feel like they're constantly hurting our feelings. And so, you know, you really just got to break them down to the finest foundation that you can, build them back up.
It's like the military.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of MK Ultra? So it's kind of like,
they're the exact same thing.
Exactly. Kind of just sit in front of a TV for about, I don't know, 22 to 23 hours a day. We're pretty easy going. It's not that difficult to get in and hang with us, you know. There's always, when you're getting into a new band, you know, especially when there's established writers in the band or there's visionaries or whatever, it can be difficult to get into that creative portion of it, just because it's the scary thing of like of how it always is, you know. And even jobs have it; they have that 3 week, 3 week, 3 month, you know, tutorial session whether they're gonna figure out if they like you and they want to keep you. And it's always a thing of like, you know, we don't know if you're gonna end up being a really cool, the coolest guy we ever met, or the shittiest human being, you know, that has ever stepped on Earth. And so you got to be careful, you know, when you say like, all right, dude, we want you to, you know, be a part of the vision and everything and make these decisions. And so that's pretty much how it is. I think it's how it is for a lot of bands, but you know, we're pretty cool. We get along easy with each other and you know.
Well, that's great to hear. And I'm glad you recovered from the NK Ultra experience. So ignoring the comparison issue, like you could compare your guys to different bands all day long, but how would you guys describe your sound? You mentioned authentic, Tyler, which I think is a great describing word for it. But if you guys could describe your own sound or your style, because genres nowadays to me, like, don't really matter. They matter on the marketing front, I think. But when it comes to like straight up the musical element, like, I don't think genres really matter anymore. So how would you guys describe your style or sound?
I would say dynamic, fluid, Our arrangements in the rock world haven't been touched on in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think. I mean, there's always people that can prove you wrong. I was talking about this earlier with Paul Moak, okay, mm-hmm. the producer we work with. We were talking about the songs for the upcoming recordings, and we were laying them all out. And he was like, yeah, you guys don't have any songs that sound alike to the next one. So forward moving is probably how I would describe the music that people haven't heard yet. But yeah, dynamic is the big one. There's loud stuff, soft stuff, heavy stuff, laid back. There's something in there for everybody.
Right.
Song to song.
Yeah. So when it comes to, like you mentioned that no songs sound the same and stuff, that has to, I think that kind of ties in with like progressing, like with your sound or just wanting to do something different, I guess. So how do you guys approach that? Cause you have the whole, like a bunch of bands, can be very formulaic, which makes them like, is oversaturated the right word? I don't know. But it makes them like kind of blend in, I think, like with other bands that are trying to chase a fad or a trend, maybe. Like you see that a lot with I think like the Texas scene right now. A lot of it's good music, but it's like they're all trying to chase that. They went from country music to now they're like chasing that rock, grungy punk sound, which is great. I love it. But you know, a lot of bands who want to sound the same, like just they get skipped over, I think. So how do you guys, like, I guess, stop from blending in like that? How do you guys really put yourself out there and make a statement, like, for your band?
These questions are hard because, like, it might seem like a cop-out, and I promise it's not. I don't think we know.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are just doing what we're doing, and you're going to, if you have a long enough career, you're going to have songs that sound, oh, well, this is the same chord progression or the same groove as this song. There's like, there's only 12 notes on this yeah. side of the world. We don't have too many options, but as far as sticking out, I don't know. Happens. We have a song called Goodbye Virginia that people really like. And that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That Garen and I put together and the group put their little things, little personalities on it, and it turned out really great. But I remember writing the music portion to it and going, we need to have a song that is more, I hate to say like anthem based, but like a big chorus that is not a super long song, but still us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time I can think about like trying to do something like that. But even with that said, if it came out and nobody liked it, I don't think we're ever going to be told by somebody, you guys need to write a 3-minute, 21-second song that has this progression, this, you know, middle eight bridge, no solos, whatever. I don't think any of us, plainly put, I don't think we'd rather not be in a band than be told how to stick out.
Yeah.
So that's a really long way. I'm the long-winded guy in these interviews between Garrett and I. So I think we've realized that. But I think that's what I can really say is, like, we're not trying to. I think it's great that it seems like we are. Mm-hmm. I think it's great that people are digging us. But I think that goes with the whole thing of the authentic side of the genuine side of the music is we're not calling ourselves authentic. We're just doing it. You know, we're putting something together. If it rocks, it rocks. If it doesn't, we don't really work on it or talk about it anymore. And then we put it out. And, you know, it's, I don't know if Garrett agrees with that, but we're pretty much just like, it is what it is. And just, it's just happened to work recently. So I'm appreciative of that.
Yeah, for sure.
Garrett?
Yeah, anything from you here?
What was the question again, man? Sorry.
Honestly, I forget. I'm just kidding. I think it's it was like, do you, no, you're fine, Tyler. Do you guys have like a like to keep progressing, or like to maybe just progress like creatively, or maybe if you wanted to try and sound different on this song than the last song, like, is there like, do you guys consciously think of that, or is it more of like a, like Tyler said, it's just like we play what we play and it's just us, authentically us, like.
Yeah, no, I think that's that's pretty succinct on what he said. I think we're more, at least I am, I could say, I can't speak for him, but I know we're both very influenced and in our own ways, and we're also open to other ways. It sounds, very contradictory what I just said, but we both really appreciate the writing process, and I think beyond that, that inspiring thing. You know, when we're playing something and it's complete, just we've never had the idea, beforehand, and mm-hmm. we just happen to play it on guitar or hum it, and then we say, yeah, that's cool. Like that it feels like it's unplanned. The whole saying that's cool thing just always gets you amped, and you're like, okay, this could probably be something. And then you start going down the rabbit hole a little more, and you keep, you keep feeding it that energy, and then it's you capture the moment. I think that's what, at least what I'm addicted to and what I strive for every time, is to try and have that same sensation of capturing the moment. So I think if you can accomplish that each time, and what is it, you don't, without reinventing yourself, re-inspire yourself or excite yourself, I think you're going to do all right, and you're going to find new things, new avenues to express them. You know what you want to do.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And scene.
No, that was great. That's great. And I do, there's a lot of truth in that. And like you said, like in the moment, you're in that creative path in the moment, and that's what makes a certain band's music so unique from another band's music. I don't know. I'm not a professional musician. I have no idea. But that's what it sounds like. So when it comes to, this is a totally different topic, but when it comes to touring with or opening for bigger bands or whoever you guys may be playing with, is there certain like things you've learned along the way just being up and comers that like have really stuck out or that will stay with you, maybe from the veterans or the guys who've been there for a while, or anything that pops out the top of your head that you can think of at the moment?
Me personally, I guess a couple things. The main one being the business side of things, which is a very, very real part of all of this. We all start playing music because we had a drive to pick up a guitar or what have you. But just like anything else in life, there is that side of things. So in the way that all of this evolves, it's uncharted territory. It seems like guarded territory a lot of the times with certain aspects of the business. But yeah, so we have an inside look to that and hearing people's experiences and what they would do differently if they could be where we're at again, or if they were at where we are in general, and they may not have such luxuries that we do currently. The thing that I think we learned on the road the most is how to play together even more. Mm-hmm. Playing so many nights in a row for 9 weeks, like we are a substantially better band than we were, say, in July.
Okay.
Whether it's on a personal level of, my playing, Garrett's vocals, whatever, whoever. But as a group, just being completely tight, running through songs and seeing, oh, we want to change this, and just naturally things changing night to night. But, it's like, who said it? Isaac Newton, Thomas Edison, I think it was the light bulb or whatever. He said, I didn't fail 37 times. I figured out 37 times how not to get electricity to this, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we learned, whether it's from the other band subconsciously, watching them play and hearing them play, or just naturally being on the road with another band for so long and playing so many shows, is how can we figure out how to be a better version of the band feel.
Yeah.
And yeah, this fall was very beneficial as far as that goes.
Yeah, I think the most important thing that I figured out, especially when we were touring with Edison, was the 37 ways on how not to make the light bulb. It was kind of pushed us in a new avenue of, because, you know, every time you have an idea when you're writing something, a light bulb goes off. And if you don't know how to make that light bulb, it can be very difficult. So I'd say that's probably the best thing that I got out of that tour.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine the whole, it's a constant learning experience. Like, even for guys who are like 10, maybe even 20 years down the road. Like, I feel like the music business, whether it be just touring or studio work, everything, I feel like you're constantly learning. Don't stop. So I feel like you guys, I think you guys are ahead of the game in many ways. So I think you're in a good spot. And this is a very cliche question, so sorry, I just want to get it out of the way. But the songwriting process, like when you guys are in the creative mode, and whether it be the lyrics or the instrumental aspects, is this like a group thing? Is it like one person sends another guy this, or like how's that all work?
Yeah, I've said it a lot before in these like interview situations, is Garrett and I, in the grand scheme of things, we haven't known each other for that long.
Mm-hmm.
We're very close, but you know, I've been playing music, you know, whatever it is, 10 times longer than I've known Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
And Garrett's been playing music 5 times longer than he's known me, or whatever the math would be. So we're still figuring out, I used to say how to write with each other, but mm-hmm. we're figuring out new ways to write with each other. A lot of the times I bring something to Garrett, and as far as musically, and we, you know, he'll throw some ideas in there. It either happens right then, or it happens, you know, weeks, a month, you know, however long he needs to take. I'll throw some ideas in there melodically or lyrically, but that's usually kind of the process. And I think that's a pretty traditional way of going about it when it comes to a rock band singer guitarist partnership, because I'm the sole, you know, melodic instrument in this group. So that happens a lot recently, and it happened a couple times on tour, but and prior, like I'll just start playing something and we'll kind of nod our heads and look at each other, and then we start being in our own world, and other people might say something and we're like, eh. Garrett and I are working. And so those are songs that we're still developing. So I'll take those and kind of work with them and see what's up with it. But I don't think that we've gotten anywhere close to how many different ways that Garrett and I can work mm-hmm. on songs, or the band, I should say. I mean, it's going to continue to be primarily Garrett and I working together. That's just that way it works when it comes to the melodic instrument and the melodic voice. But yeah, like Garrett was saying, playing these songs live and knowing what we're about to do in the studio as well makes me excited to do more and to figure out more ways. And to, at first, I don't know if Garrett and I knew how similar our minds worked when it comes to certain things with music and influences, and how a lot of the people he listened to, I listened to their influences. So I, to cap that off, I think it's the sky's the limit as far as what we're capable as a partnership and as a band.
Hell yeah. Awesome. That's like solid chemistry. Like, I feel like that's like step one, and it sounds like you guys have it. So that's great. But let's talk about the new EP that dropped in October. So first off, I loved it. It was badass. That's what got me listening to you guys, and I can't wait for more. And I guess we'll just, if there is a theme or meaning behind it, or is it more of like a statement, just like, this is who we are. Like, what was your guys' main goal with this release?
Gary, you can go first.
Yeah, so our main goal was to get music out. we were, and I say that obviously jokingly, it's very abrupt, but I think we only had, was it Find the Love, the live EP from St. Petersburg. And I think we had pulled most of the other stuff off of Spotify or streaming services already. So, I mean, we were kind of rushed to get in the studio and get stuff out, especially since it was maybe like less than 2 months before our first tour. And that was the dirt tour we just did with Dirty Honey. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we recorded the whole thing within a week, and then we mixed and mastered it the following week. And then we were just honestly in a daze and a bit of a rush to get it all done. Like, I think Goodbye Virginia, we'd only had it maybe a month and a half. You know, we had not even written it, but got the idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first time we had played it was July 4th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's just about a month. So
and we had still made changes after that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, the goal was definitely... So, I mean, as boring as it sounds, the main goal was to get music out. You know what I mean? But that's I guess, I don't want to say that's the name of the game, but I think that's also something we just wanted to do, is that we finally had someone that, like, was really... that we really respected and enjoyed speaking with. I'm talking about our producer, Paul Moog. Mm-hmm. And, you know... we were really excited to get into the studio and be with someone who respects our vision and wanted to do what we were doing, and not just be a part of it, to try and sculpt it and make it the best of what it can be. And Paul does an excellent job, I think, at that. And the more we work with him, the better it's going to get. So,
gotcha. Yeah, I agree. It's an interesting spot we're in as a group, because we, being a new band to the world and not being a new band to us, we have songs that we had previously worked on that we can revisit, that and that's what we did with some of the last EP. That's what we'll do, hopefully, just one more time in the future. They're not old new songs to us, but they are to the world. So they're still fresh and still sound like a representation of us. And I say that because you said, is the EP a statement? I think the EP is an introduction to who we are right this second and who we can become.
Yeah.
What we have coming up, I think, is going to be a continuance of that introduction. It's kind of hard with an EP. I don't think of EPs as a throwaway. I think as EP is a like a statement in time, mm-hmm. whereas albums can be a conscious, stream, fluidity.
Yeah.
So that's what we're looking forward to with albums. Is that not say we're going to do concept albums, which the prog rock fan of me would love, but I don't think these EPs are having some sort of, I don't think there's not much of a story going on, except this is what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Listen to it, enjoy it, get excited for the future too. Like, you know, an EP should be a little taste.
Yeah.
But the last EP, people are digging the crap out of it, and that makes us so happy. At this tour, people were singing the songs very loud. We have ambient mics. We use in-ears, and you can hear people shouting in those, sometimes too loud, but it's all right. We're really happy with that EP. Working with Paul and Zach and Sam and Brendan here at Smokestack in Nashville has been awesome. It's more like hanging out with buddies and recording, and they're like, well, think about it this way, and you're like, okay, and either do or don't, and it turns out the way it turns out. And Paul was saying to me, he's like, yesterday he said, so how's the response been? And I was like, it's been good. And he's like, yeah, I can tell. And he's like, I don't think it could have turned out any better. And I agree, I don't think it could have.
Yeah, I mean, the moment in time, I think that's what you said, like for an EP, like that's a great way to describe it. I never thought of it that way, but yeah, dude, I had it on repeat for a couple hours today. I was hooked immediately. It's a badass It's a badass compilation of music, man. Like, it's great. And can't wait to hear more. And so I guess before we get out of here, I'd like to know your guys' opinions on the current state of rock music, because you guys are obviously up and comers. You guys are doing the damn thing and doing pretty well in it, in my opinion. What do you guys, and we could get both of your opinions if you want, like, what do you guys think? Because you get the classic rock is dead shit that Gene Simmons liked to say for a while. And you got people like, I would say, us, who think the opposite. What do you guys think about that?
Garrett.
Rock, Garrett,
go ahead.
I can announce to the world officially, you can relax now. Rock is alive, everyone. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, dude, rock has been alive. I mean, it's a great thing to say and everything, and you know, and it's one of those things that, like, and I'm not saying this about him, is that, like, everyone wants to feel like, you know, they know something, or they want to be at least recognized like they know something. You know, mm-hmm. That's kind of a bit of the Dunning-Kruger effect, you know, when you know a little bit about something and you hear someone, you know, let's say it's about hats, you know, whatever. and someone that strikes up a conversation about hats, you immediately want to jump in on it. And one of the coolest, you know, the best way to strike up a conversation of that is to give a hot take in it. And, yeah. You know, it's one of those hot takes. It's like rock is dead, or like, oh, there's no good rap anymore. All the good rap is in the past, or, you know, something like that. And dude, you got to go looking. Not to say mm-hmm. that we're the band that's, you know, that's bringing it back or anything like that, but there are a whole lot of bands out there, if you really put in the effort to look it up, I mean, you know, they're kick ass. Yep. So, I mean, dude, rock is very much alive and such.
Yeah.
And it's not, I don't think it's just us. That's, you know, bringing it back.
Right.
Yeah. I cannot remember the rock writer's name. He's the big rock writer. He wrote for Cream magazine.
Oh man. I think I know who you're talking about. I can't remember either.
Not Ben Fontaine. Anyway, big rock writer in the early 70s said, basically, rock is dead. Like, and to most people, that's when rock is, you know.
Yeah, I was about to say, in the 70s, that's a wild thing to say, looking back on it.
Yeah, and I think he was saying, you know, the almost the purity and the innocence of rock, if that even makes sense, was no longer a thing. So, things go through periods of time. Things change, things sound different, they look different, whatever. And it just doesn't make sense to say rock is dead or pop is dead or whatever. I mean, pop used to be the freaking Beatles.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's nothing like it is now, but pop's not mm-hmm. dead. And I love the Beatles. And I like pop mm-hmm. nowadays, too. But as far as what I view as the current state of rock, I think it's great. I mean, I don't really see us as this. I do think that we have something different than a lot of people. I think we may just be doing things differently, I should say. Mm-hmm. But there's, how many rock bands do you see on Instagram?
Yeah.
Like, they may not have major management or booking or be on the sort of tours that we might be right now, but they have tens of thousands of followers. They've got a bunch of people going to their shows. They can book their own headlining tours. They have streams, you know. Even if you got 1,000 monthly listeners, you know, that's not a lot to some people, but it's like, you know, independent music, like, if people are listening to it, awesome. So all that to say, I think rock music is great. I think there's a lot of bands out there that are maybe might be stuck in their direction. A lot of mm-hmm. bands that might, people say they sound exactly like them, and sometimes I'm like, yeah, they're kind of nailing that one on the head. But with a little direction, they might be able to have their own voice. I think that's what might be stopping rock, but from progressing. But, you know, I'm glad there's bands that came around like Greta Van Fleet. They mm-hmm. proved that people are still down for it. And mm-hmm. there are always other bands, even with, like, the Foo Fighters and stuff. You know, that's a rock band, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that there's a ton of rock bands out. I don't see anyone as competition, because the more, the merrier. like that, the more there are, that means that there's just that many more people interested, and young people too. We see a lot of older generation and younger generation people at our shows, and that's what I think the state of rock is. I don't really care what people sound like. If people are out there doing it, having fun, and it's standing up to everyone's being cool and it's moral, then like right on. Like, you know, we don't want any weirdness in the community. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out a bad thing to say about it, but I can't. I'm super happy to be in 2024, almost 2025 doing it. I should say it like that.
I think one of the coolest things to always remember, though, is that if someone says blah, blah, blah is dead, it just means that it's not, you know, it's not super hip. It's not exactly in the limelight. And if it's not in the limelight and a bunch of people aren't buying into it, it means, you know, it's how it is in every single industry. That product that isn't in the limelight isn't going to be exploited heavily.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if rock gets super famous again, you're going to see, you know, I don't want to say it's a taboo term, but, you know, you're going to see industry plants pop up and such like that.
And there already has been some.
Yeah, it's like you're going to get more exploitative people. I joked about this with Tyler, you know, the other day. I mean, it's like the Tony Hawk games. You know, you got a new one every 6 months or whatever. Yeah, it's like Tony Hawk number 19. And it's the easy way to do that is, you know, Led Zeppelin number 19 also. I mean, it's a proven and working formula, schematic, whatever you want to call it. So, I mean, the good thing is that if people say rock dead, good thing happen. That music good with the small crowd. Yeah. And so
the pendulum swings. Yes.
I'll add this, and it's like any other topic that people speak on, and I don't mean this in a pretentious way, but they don't entirely know what they're talking about. There's no way, like, I'm a bit of a music historian when it comes to this specific stuff. There's no way that people are going to know some of the things I do because they're not going to waste their time like I have with it. Mm-hmm. But if we think, I mean, that's just the fact of it.
Yeah.
When we think about the 60s and the 70s, there were a lot of big bands. There were a ton of big bands. Oh, yeah. And people say, well, there were a lot more record sales. Well, that's all they had, brother. Like, they didn't have, if they could have got it for free, they would have. Mm-hmm. No one had money in the 70s. Oil crisis, come on. So anyway... Like, the point is, if we think back on the 70s, early 70s in particular, can people say really that there were bands so mad? Like, who would the Sabrina Carpenter, as far as rock bands, would have been back then? Zeppelin? The Rolling Stones? There really wasn't anybody any bigger. There was a ton of bands under them, ton of mid-level bands, like even the Allman Brothers. That's one of the biggest bands ever, it's seen as, but it's like it took them a long time to sell out arenas. It was more late 70s. So my point in saying is nothing's dead. That's just that doesn't make sense. It's the music business just is not the same anymore.
Yeah.
You know, even really, if people want to talk about what was the most different period of time, it was the 70s to the 80s. Like, way closer, in my opinion, to the 70s. And a mix of the 80s, like social, the 80s feel like social media land to me with MTV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just over giving you. And the 70s was more of the genuine part for a bit. So that's my little spiel on just saying, like, historically speaking, someone can tell me wrong, but not really in this case. It's not that much different than it has been. It's just that we look at things different, like literally look at things differently and consume it differently now. The end.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, man. Both of you. It's a change in the music industry. It's constantly changing, and it's about evolving and all that, I guess. So I guess before we get out of here, let's talk about any upcoming music. What do you guys got down the pipe, just so people can know about it?
Yeah, I never know what we're supposed to say and not supposed to say, but I guess we're in the band, so we're technically the boss. So we are going to be working on releasing new music in the early new year. That'll be starting in the winter, and it would be great to have it out in the winter as well, if planning and marketing can go well with all that, because we have a good group of shows booked right now, February through March, that have not been announced. And then I know a bunch of stuff's going to pop up after that as well, and probably before that. But yeah, we'll have more songs coming out. We're not going to leave people salivating too long.
Well, right on. I can't wait to hear more. And boys, thanks a lot for hopping on. This was a blast. And like, I can't tell people enough to go check the band Feel out, because this is some killer music. It's I keep saying, I guess authentic. That's a good word to use now that I'm aware of it. It's authentic. It's reminiscent of some of the stuff you've listened to like in the past, but the most important thing about it is that it's fresh and new at the same time, in my opinion. And these guys are killing it. It seems like they're three steps ahead of everything too. They're really killing it on that front too. So thanks a lot again, boys, for hanging out, talking with me. And also, by the way, if you want to plug anything, socials, website, anything, the floor is yours.
I mean, we all have individual socials. That's just under our names. But yeah, anything you want from us is under the band Feel. Website, merch, music, all of it helps. And come see us live.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. And also check out Rage Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative, and everything else. Thanks a lot, boys, again. Everyone, thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next time.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? Try to make a mess of this self.